Welcome to another Carlin Laidlaw Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
And I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, what do you think about transgender athletes competing in women's competition?
Yeah, it's a real big controversy. And I want to say from the beginning, in terms of transgender people in society and people transitioning from one gender to another, we're not debating that. And I'm not saying that that's wrong. In fact, you know, I'm highly supportive of that idea. I know, being a school teacher, there's kids who people who struggled with their gender. And in the past, that wasn't something that people spoke about. But we know that people have struggled with that, their identity and their gender. And now I think we're at a place in our society where we accept that and we support people doing that because we understand the benefits for those people. And so it becomes, I think from a societal point of view, we've moved to accept people who are transitioning from one gender to another and see their gender very differently than what we would say is traditional male and female. But then when it comes to sport, I think it's still a real controversial issue because I look at it from a physiological point of view in terms of performance. As a PE teacher, we look at the impact of a whole range of things on performance in sport, and we clearly can look and say, hey, males outperform females in nearly every aspect of every sport. And a lot of that is because of those physiological differences and obviously the different levels of hormones that we produce and the impact they have on things like our skeletal structure, our muscle mass, our cardiovascular system, and so on. And so when you look across all sports, whether it's speed, whether it's strength, whether it's power, whether it's aerobic ability, we can clearly see that there's a minimum of a 10% improvement in performance for males than females when we're talking about elite sport. Mm-hmm. And if you compare apples for apples in that sense, if I'm looking at a male and female, same age, same training, etc., then the male will typically outperform the female in sport.
I agree 100%, and I'm all for opening up athletics and sports for people that are transgender. I've got no problem at all with that. What I have a problem with is the people they compete against because, you know, why when you have Wimbledon, why do they have a men's competition and a ladies' competition? Why is it so that they split up the competitions in a lot of sport with speed and strength between men and women? It's because men are naturally stronger. It's just the way they've been built, as you said. But there's other issues. There's bone density. There's a DNA of how they're built. There's testosterone. There's a whole range of different things which sort of make up the strength of a man compared to the strength of a woman. Women have much more strength in other aspects. Like, can you imagine a man trying to have a baby?
Difficult.
Yeah. So I remember. I used to run the City Bar, and I remember the wheelchair athletes. They'd always go way ahead because they had that advantage. I had no problem with that because they had categories for wheelchair athletes. So I was all supportive of that. Now, why can't they have categories like they do in Paralympics and Special Olympics for transgender athletes? All they do is compete against other transgender athletes.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and this is – I don't think, and obviously Laurel Hubbard, New Zealand weightlifter, she's been selected in the women's team to compete for New Zealand in the super heavyweight weightlifting at the Tokyo Olympics. So she's the first transgender athlete to be selected and compete at the Olympic Games. And so this is where this is obviously the controversy, and that's why it's in the media at the moment, because the Olympics are just around the corner and this has happened. And the IOC, the Olympic International Olympic Committee, in 2015, well, obviously they've been grappling with this idea for a while because there's obviously been there has been pressure from transgender athletes to be able to compete at the Olympics and in other sports, non-Olympic sports, there are transgender athletes competing, and so this debate has been going for a while. Back in 2015, the IOC put out some guidelines in terms of what would a transgender athlete need to do to be able to compete? And it was looking at really going through a whole range of medical, not necessarily medical procedures, but reducing testosterone levels. So using other hormones to help that. And they had to be for a 12-month period below a particular concentration of testosterone, which is androgenic hormone, which improves muscle mass and reduces body fat, increases bone density, what we most people would think of as a male
advantage
hormone, which produces our qualities as a male. And it has to be below 10 nanomoles per liter. So if an athlete, and like, so you look at it from that aspect, and the IOC is saying, well, hang on, we're trying to say we understand there is an advantage. We know that clearly there's an advantage from male to female in terms of athletic ability. And by having these guidelines, we understand that that will hopefully have an impact and reduce that advantage. And so the question then is that enough? Does that reduce a person's athletic ability to the point where we've got an equal and fair playing field? And so, you know, we've had issues with AFL. Like if I've got a 90 kilogram person, a transgender athlete has been male and went through puberty as a male and has that muscle mass and bone density, etc. If they're competing against a female athlete who hasn't had those advantages and they're a 60 kilo, very strong, well-conditioned athlete, is that fair?
No.
I mean, are you putting that athlete at risk in a contact sport like that? I mean, weightlifting is a different thing. Obviously, it's a power strength-based event where males have always had an advantage. But you've got to look at all those different levels. So you've got to look at inclusion. Like, are we being fair from an inclusive point of view? Are we being fair in terms of having a level playing field so athletes can compete head-to-head fairly? And I think, I mean, as this is not a safety issue, but in some sports, it can be a safety issue.
It can be.
And that's why in some, like a lot of sports, we have, like in boxing, in wrestling, in martial arts, we don't have the super heavyweights fighting the bantamweights because it would be dangerous. And so throughout our sport, as you mentioned before, we do have all these categories and we have them sometimes for safety and often for fairness. And I think they're the things that have to be discussed and really looked at from a scientific point of view and a gathering of evidence. And so, as I said, but we also look at it from an inclusion point of view and a fairness to people in our society who have transitioned from one gender to another.
I remember back in the 1980s, maybe even the 1970s, when Russian athletes and Chinese athletes try to gain an advantage by pumping hormones into their female athletes so they were stronger. And it worked. They were winning all the medals, et cetera. In one respect, it's a little bit like that, but in reverse, it's like instead of trying to turn the females into males through hormone treatment so that they can be better, it's like taking a male and turning them into females so they can be better. I mean, no matter which way you look at it, I'm obviously being a little bit flippant with saying this. I have every respect for human beings and their rights, whether they're transgender, male, female, whatever. But I just think you can't compete with a man that's transgendered to a female within the last 10 years or less against a female athlete that's trained hard her whole life to get to the top, and she misses out because of a transgender athlete. It just irks me, the fairness in the thinking of this. And I was reading a little bit about some of the transgender athletes who have competed in female events. And I look at in the USA, there was this Andrea Yearwood, who was winning all the local 100 meter, 200 meters against female athletes. But she came second in the state type competition they had over there. But she was beaten by another transgender athlete. So it was like, basically, two people born as boys won first or second place in a state championship for a female 100-meter competition. I mean, there's been plenty of cases. I mean, Bruce Jenner, who was a javelin thrower, wasn't he?
Bruce Jenner was a decathlete.
A decathlete. And
he was a gold medalist at Olympics when he competed as a male.
Yep.
And obviously, very famously, has transitioned to be a woman. And so, you know, with social media and reality TV and so on. And so Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn Jenner. And so Caitlyn Jenner has obviously been very outspoken. And interestingly, looking at some of the things that she has said, she is now coming out saying it's unfair. And in probably earlier on, Caitlyn Jenner would be a person who has been inspirational for people who are transitioning from one gender to another, and has now got a little bit of flack because from the transgender community and advocates, because she has now said, hang on a minute, I think it's actually unfair for a trans athlete to be competing against girls. And so that was an interesting take, I think, from a person's perspective who has been through that process.
Now, I've seen other examples. Veronica Ivy, who's become a top cyclist in Canada since she's transgendered. Hannah Mounsey, she was from Australia. She played handball, and she was sort of like on the peripheral of the Australian men's team, and then she transitioned. Now she's one of the top female players, and she used to play football as well. I mean, there's so many athletes. Renee Richards, the tennis player. There's a lot of examples, but it doesn't matter who they are, I think they should play against their own. I think the playing, it has to be a level playing field.
Well, I think we've got to be clear. It's not just men sitting there going, hey, I reckon I could be a champion if I become a woman. That's not the case. So it's people who have obviously clearly for the majority of their lives have struggled with their identity and the gender that they were given at birth or were born as a male or female. And of course, people can transition in different directions or both directions. And so I don't think we're going to have just these male athletes saying, if I was a female, I could be winning gold medals. It's obviously people who have struggled with their identity and have made that transition and obviously love sport. And so it's not I don't want to make this, and I don't see it from our perspective as being a personal thing about any of these athletes. Yeah. It's looking at it across the board and saying, hey, this is a new thing for sport, and especially at high level, and has it been done right? Is it fair? I look at an article that Ross Tucker, who's a sports scientist, has written. It was in the Times in London, and he made a lot of interesting scientific points. Like 13 different studies have been done on athletes who have people who have transitioned and obviously had that reduction in testosterone to that limit that the IOC is setting. And he's pointing out that there has been minimal change in total mass, like body weight. Muscle mass has pretty much been unchanged. Bone mass and bone density and strength, like only a very small drop-off in strength. If you go, hang on a minute, that's studies that have been done. Now, obviously, this is a new era, so there's got to be a lot more done to actually see what are the results? What are the impacts? Interesting, he talks about Elaine Thompson, who was the women's 100-meter champion, 2:16 at the Olympics, and went through the statistics. Now, if you look at the 100-meter times for that year and took her time, her best time, she would be ranked out of, if we combined men and women, there were 1,826 boys or men and Paralympians ahead of her in terms of their time. Wow. Yep. So you start looking at stuff like, and go, here is the fastest woman in the world, and yet there are 1,826 male athletes who run faster than her. Now, if you imagine then, if we said, let's remove all things to do with gender. Let's not have gender. Let's not have male and female categories. Let's not have weight categories. Let's get rid of them all. And people just compete based on their athletic ability. It would decimate women's sport.
Oh, and what would the incentive be for females to play sport? And I can see this as another aspect where female athletes might start thinking, well, I can't compete with transgenders, so they don't want to put the work in anymore. I mean, you can see it being the detrimental side of it as well.
It's a really interesting, and there obviously there's a lot of very different opinions from athletes, but again, I'm really not sure. I look at it from a whole, and I just can't get my head around. I'm not sure it's fair, and I'm looking at solely from that physiological point of view. I don't want to link transgender athletes to drugs at all, and I'm not doing that in this comment. But as an athlete competing, I was a non-drug taking athlete, and I competed against obviously athletes who people said were taking drugs. Now, drugs are banned. Why? Because they're performance enhancing. So as you pointed out before, like some countries had been guilty and seemingly guilty of allowing athletes to do that. Now, if this is what people probably don't get about. They think, oh, as soon as someone takes a drug, they'll benefit. But if I'm an athlete using drugs, I can train at a much greater level, much greater volume, much higher intensity than a non-drug-taking athlete. I recover faster. Those physical adaptations that you get from training occur and you keep them. So, of course, these athletes go off their drugs when they're competing because there's drug testing, but they still retain the benefits. Yep. Now, do they drop off a little bit? Yes, they do, but they still retain the benefits. And I think that's what is the issue here. Do these transgender athletes retain the benefits of being born male, going through puberty as a male, and then having that years of training as a male? Do they still have those benefits, and is that a fair thing?
Well, I don't think so. Like I said, I think they should have special categories to encourage all people to be able to compete, but it has to be a level playing field.
Well, it's not going to go away. It's going to be an ongoing issue, and I imagine there's going to be a lot more testing and research done to see whether this is fair. Again, inclusion point of view, understand. Competition performance point of view, I'm not sure.
I'm sure we'll revisit this maybe after the Olympics. So ends another Carlo and Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.